Please be seated. So we are in the sixth Sunday of Epiphany, and we're in the sixth part of this series called and chosen. And this week we're going to look at choosing to walk with Him. And first, I want to just be honest with you that as we work through this Epiphany season, which means God revealed to us, it's a season that we start out with Jesus' baptism and we end with His transfiguration, which will be next week. And it's that whole season of God revealing His true nature to us, what He wants us to know about Him. And that's why it's appropriate, I think, in the sixth Sunday to talk about what it means to choose to follow God. Because I want to just quickly go over, Brian read for us Deuteronomy 30. That was our Old Testament lesson. But I want to just take note of a few things that it says there. It says that, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. What do you think about those words, choose life? That's a good saying, right? We talk about that because we're, as a church, we're pro-life, so we talk about choose life. That's important. But it's not just protecting the baby in the womb, but it's choosing a life that is pleasing to God, recognizing that we are a blessing, recognizing that we are a gift, that life is a gift, and that God wants us desperately to follow Him, to walk in His ways, to do what He asks us to do, not because He wants to begrudge us fun. That's the way people often talk about, I don't want to do all that stuff because that doesn't sound fun. It's not that. He wants us to do what He's asking us to do because He knows it's beneficial to us. It's a gift to us. If we follow His commands, if our society followed His commands, if we lived the way He asked to live, wouldn't it be a way better place to live? Yeah. If we followed the commands of God, wouldn't this be a way better world that we live in today? Of course. And so He didn't want this to be some sort of legalistic thing that, you know, follow me or else. That's the way it comes across. But I want you to understand the context of what He's saying here, because we as Lutherans, we have a problem with this word. Choose! Make a decision for Jesus! Choose Jesus today! It's your choice! Stand up! Make a decision! Put your hand up. Make a decision. I've been to many concerts, many crusades, many different places where that's what they do. And they say, and I always love it because, you know, trying to be a little nicer in the modern context, they say, well, everybody who's not going to raise their hand, please keep your head down so you don't make people nervous. Everybody's looking like, huh? We have a problem with that word. Because in our church, we understand that we don't choose Jesus, Jesus chooses us. That's what He said, right? We know this, right? Jesus said to His disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. In John's gospel, He says it multiple times, when I will be raised up, I will draw all people to myself. Who is it that draws us to Himself? Jesus. That's why Paul was upset with the Corinthians, because he's like, duh, I planted, Apollos watered, but who grew? Who grew us? God. It's God who chooses us. It's God who does these things. And so we kind of have this problem. We get all upset. You'll very seldom hear Lutheran pastors talking about decisions or choosing or doing all these things because they get upset because they hear so many times that somebody comes back and says, I decided to follow Jesus today. And I look at him going, okay, what about tomorrow? What about the day after? Is it all about what you do? Or is it about what God does? It sounds really petty, But when you've been in my office for a while, and you've seen people who've made decisions for Jesus at some sort of thing out there where somebody said, you got to make a decision today, turn or burn. Make a decision. It's up to you. And the person makes a decision, they put their hand up and they come and get prayer. And then the next day, what happens? They go back to their regular life, and what happens? They fail. And who do they blame when they fail? The guy who stood up. The guy who put the hand up. Because it was their decision, therefore they take responsibility for failing. Well, it is sort of their responsibility, but it's also because they forgot about the fact that God is the one who builds. God is the one who gives us the power to deal with these things. God is the one who forgives us. God is the one who makes us whole. God is the one who sets us on the path. God is the one who gives us the strength. They somehow think it's up to them, and so therefore when they fail, they're humiliated. They don't want to approach God because they failed. And that's the danger of using the word in the wrong context. But in the right context, it's totally appropriate and valuable and important, right? Because how many of us make decisions all day long? You decide whether you're going to eat breakfast or not eat breakfast. You decide if you're going to wake up or not wake up. You decide if you're going to go to work or not, depending if you want a wage. You decide if you're going to listen to your parents or not, depending if you want punishment. You decide if you're going to obey the speed limit or not, depending on if there's a police officer. Being honest. Right? You make decisions all the time. It's part of human nature. So there is a context where we can understand that word in a good context. We don't see, God is saying to the people of Israel, we don't see what is set before us. We can be tempted to turn away from our heart, mind, with our heart and mind, ears and eyes to false gods. You see, what is amazing to me is that many people read that verse, and it's from the end of Deuteronomy. It's from the end of the Pentateuch or the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. It's at the end. So where does this choice come to? It's kind of like this choice comes after God has shown his grace, his mercy, his love, his power. It's after he brought them through the Red Sea. It's after he showed Pharaoh how powerful he was. It's after he's shown them over and over and over and over and over and over, you get the idea, right? How he can provide for them with manna and quail and everything else. How they didn't get blisters when they were walking all those miles. He takes care of them. He defends them. He protects them. All this stuff, this decision happens after they have seen the power and love of God. It's not before the journey starts. It's after they're already in process. That's why St. Paul was so discouraged with the Corinthians. He's like, I planted, Apollos watered, and this is a process. That's why the people who are sitting there, I feel kind of sorry for them, the people at the Sermon on the Mount, they're pre-Pentecost. It's awfully hard, those words that we read, right? I don't like reading those words because we live in a society where a lot of people don't like those words. That's not a fun part of scripture to read, to be honest with you. Not a fun part of scripture to read because, a lot of people don't like to hear that stuff he's talking about there. And yet, we know post-Pentecost that he's the one who gives us the power. He's a God of grace and mercy, love and power. He gives us the power to live as his people. We don't have to generate this on our own. We can deal with what our right hand is doing. We can make these decisions or choose these things, not by our own strength, but by his strength. I've often thought to myself, especially when I was studying Hebrew, I studied Hebrew for 3 years and I was an Old Testament major, and I always felt sorry for the people in the Old Testament because this was a huge burden that they had. This is a huge burden because they didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. They were really doing this on their own for the most part, and it was difficult. That's why we're so blessed. So what does God say? He says, he sets before us life and death, blessing and curse. By the Holy Spirit, we can choose life. St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus be accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by or in the Holy Spirit. So is it our decision to come to faith? Is it our decision to believe? Is it our decision to enter into the relationship with Jesus? Not really, without the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther wrote in The Bondage of the Will, he said, you know, the only choice we make without the gift of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit working on us, the only thing, decision we ever make is to go away from God. To do what he warned those people, you know, to follow after false gods, to try to make excuses for our sins, to try to hide them, to try to do the best on our own, and we only fail. That's why he called it bondage of the will. We may have free will, but really, without the Holy Spirit, we have only bondage. Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do anything. And that's what he's trying to say to the Corinthians. The same people he's going to talk to, or he's talking to earlier about following Apollos and Paul in different factions. He's talking about this in chapter 12. He says, I want you to understand, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that does that. So when we talk about being saved or salvation, we talk about it as we hear in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Justification or salvation is not by works or our choice. This is why, again, why Lutheran pastors react to that word choice or decision is because they think of it on this side of the equation. You know, we have a spectrum. We start out on the side where we receive our salvation in baptism, receive our salvation by the gift of God through his grace. And so we hear the words that he spoke to the church in Ephesus. He said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Isn't that awesome? How many of us like that verse? I had that in confirmation. I had it down. I knew that. Because I knew that most of the time the questions could be answered with that verse. The other one was John 3:16. Those were the two. If you had them, you'd pass. But there's also the part of our life which I think sometimes we downplay, because a lot of churches, they're mostly concerned, and I'm guilty of this, they're mostly concerned, are you going to heaven or not? And that you're concerned for someone when you come across them and they talk about their faith, are they in a relationship with Jesus or not? That's the number one concern, right? That's what we start our service with, the invocation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It reminds us of our baptism where God chose us. Even when we were not aware, he chose us through water and the word to be his people. But it's that discipleship part, which most of us don't want to tackle because it's a lot of work. And yet, if you read Ephesians, you see chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, talks about for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of our own, but it's a gift of God. It's that, it's not so that we would boast. But look at the next verse. Because once we're saved, we are living out our faith as we are being called to be holy, that sanctification. And that's exactly what he says in verse 10, right? How many of you learned verse 10 in confirmation? I did. I must have been better than you. I mean, it was important, because if we just end with verse 9, it sounds like, oh yeah, there's nothing we can do about this. And once we're saved, we move on to sanctification, and it's for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's why I entitled this, Choosing to Walk with Him, in Him. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to make choices that are pleasing to him, that draw us deeper into his, in the relationship we have with him, that move us closer to him, that lift us higher. And yet, if we're only concerned about our salvation and we're not concerned about moving into sanctification, we could just stay there and say, yeah, I'm saved. Saved by grace. Yay. I'm going to heaven. But the point that the discipleship talks about is, okay, now that I'm chosen, now that I'm called, how then shall I live? What are we doing next? And I always like Joshua. Joshua is asked at the beginning of the journey that he has after Moses is taken by God and buried by God on the east side of the Jordan. Then they're preparing to go over to Jericho and go across the Jordan River. And God asks him, you know, be strong and courageous, right? He says, be strong and courageous. Follow me. Do what I ask. But at the end of of Joshua's ministry, and it's quite an amazing ministry, right? Does, you know, you remember the story of Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho? What happened to the walls of Jericho? They came a-tumbling down. Remember those songs that you sang in Sunday school, beginning Bible school? They came a-tumbling down because it was God who brought them down. Don't you always think that's so funny? Here they're marching around, they blow the trumpet, and the walls come down. Why? Because it's God showing his power, right? It's God showing that it's up to him to do what he promises. So choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That's what he says to the people of Israel. This is Joshua. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to make choices because we know who we are. That's the difference between decision theology and Lutheran theology. We make decisions each and every day. We choose each and every day which way we're going to go, but we do it because of who we are. We do it because we are called. We do it because we are chosen. We do it because we know that God is the one who is in relationship with us, and he is the one who gives us the power. He can bring down the walls of Jericho. He can bring down the walls of sin in our life. Amen. If he can bring down the walls of Jericho, he can bring down those things that look insurmountable to us. He can deal with our sin. We make decisions every day, and a lot of times we fail because we're trying to do it in our own power and our own strength. And yet he says, you know, he wants to take our burdens. He wants to take our cares. He wants to give us the power to live as his people. That's why it's okay when we fail to be honest with God and say, you know, I tried to do it on my own again. Men, I want you to listen to this. Because how many of you try to do things without reading the directions or the instructions? Okay, yep. We have this camera here, and here I was so depressed last week because it only recorded about 54 minutes of our service. And if you're here, you know that it's longer than that. And I was so disappointed. I thought, man, that's terrible. And I didn't read the instructions. So Jake told me today that it's got a big battery pack underneath it. I didn't even know it had. So if I would have read the instructions, that wouldn't have been a problem. So I'm just being honest. It tends to be the problem with men is we don't listen to directions very well, and we don't read the instructions. We try to figure it out first, and then once we fail, we go, wonder what we did wrong. And that's human nature, right? So I the challenge I have for you is the same challenge that God gave to the people of Israel. They knew him. They knew what he did. They knew what he could do. They knew what he wanted to do. They knew that he had a plan for them. They knew he had a place for them. They knew that he could do what he promised. And it's only when they knew their relationship with him was secure, he asked them this question: choose today who you will serve. Choose life. When we're in that relationship with Jesus, we make choices all the time. My prayer for you is choose to walk in his ways. With Jesus, because he has the power to get us through. He has the power to do amazing things with you and me. And isn't that an awesome gift? Isn't that grace? That's real grace. As you know, it's not just about, oh yeah, are we saved? Yeah. It's important. All of heaven rejoices when we're saved. But all of heaven rejoices when we surrender to him and allow him to show us, when we make the right choices, how he can come alongside and give us the power to live for him each and every day. May that be our desire. May that be his will for us. And it is his will for us. May that be the way that we live each and every day. Amen.